Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Welcome to another episode of Right Here in Mass. Joining me today is Bob Cargill, who was the New England Direct Marketing Association's Direct Marketer of the Year in 2009, is an adjunct professor, a copywriter, content creator, social media consultant, and public speaker who has worked for some 500 or so different clients over the years. Bob is the current president of the American Marketing Association Boston chapter. He regularly contributes to his blog at thebobcargill.com. And he also has written and published a book about his career in marketing called 20 Jobs, 20 Lessons, A Long, Strange Career in Marketing. I'm super excited to have him here. And Bob, thank you so much for being on the show. And I'd love if you could tell us more about your career and what led you to where you are.
Thank you, Ashley. I'm thrilled to be here. Yeah, 20 Jobs, 20 Lessons. And we'll get to that. That's my book that I published just this year. Oh, there's so much to say, Ashley. I don't know where to begin. I don't want to go on and on, but in a nutshell, I guess, to summarize, I've been in marketing for, almost 40 years. Hard to believe.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't feel that old. But I guess the years fly by. Time flies when you're having fun. But I started right after grad school working at RCA Direct Marketing as a copywriter in 1983. And so I've been in marketing ever since. And that's as a copywriter, a creative director, and similar titles, but all working for the most part on the agency side, some client side, a few big companies here and there, but mostly agencies, whether it was on the client side, those few jobs or in all those agencies, I was always putting together the creative, working as a writer alongside designers or directing the teams. And then about 5 years ago, I left my last full-time corporate job, and that was as a director of social media. So I left that gig to freelance, to consult, and I have wound up teaching a ton, which I love, as an adjunct professor, three different universities, and couldn't be happier with the stage of my career.
That's awesome. And one thing that impresses me about you is that you just have so many exciting things going on and you somehow manage to juggle them all. And so for people who I say, like myself as well, who are really multi-passionate and have a lot of different things in their career that they want to focus on, what would you say is your best practice for being able to do it all while still having time for yourself and focus on some downtime?
Very good question, Ashley. And I can't help but refer to the sign you have behind you, get comfortable with the uncomfortable. I've always embraced doing things slightly different and being blazing my own trail, if you will, and taking advantage of any opportunity, every opportunity that comes my way. And sometimes, yes, I do over invest and maybe become overwhelmed to a degree, but I'm very comfortable with that. I'm very comfortable juggling a lot of different projects. So what I tell people, and a lot of this type of advice is in my book, is don't hesitate to experiment and venture off the beaten path, if you will, blaze your own trail, because you never know where that's going to lead. I will say, sure, the downside, I work a lot of hours. I've always worked a lot of hours. That habit started probably in school, college, where I studied a ton, always in the library if I wasn't in class or having some fun with my friends. So I've always put in those extra hours, and I feel that's what's gotten me this far. I don't feel necessarily I was blessed with something, a job or a career being handed to me. I think it's or some innate great talent I have. I think, frankly, I chalk it up to my hard work.
Yeah. Absolutely. And would you say that you kind of set a certain schedule for yourself? Like, I know with teaching, it's probably easier to do that because you have your set class times, but do you set a schedule for yourself each week, or does it kind of just depend on your workload and what you have going on?
So I still write a to-do list constantly. And I'm looking over here because I have piles of them, because what I do, I used to be more organized, meaning, you know, at the beginning of the week, I'd write that to-do list. What I do now, so I've been doing this probably, you know, since day one. I mean, I embrace technology, love technology. I have my, you know, calendar and all that online, but I still handwrite the to-do list. And I'd say every 3, 4, 5 days, I start a new one, approximately every 3, 4, 5 days. So I cross out things as I've done them. Mm-hmm. And then I create a new one with the things that aren't crossed out, you know, on that list, plus new things. So you're right. School is a pretty rigid calendar. You know, when I have to be in class, when grades are due, when I have to prepare my lectures, et cetera. But I've always been able to, I guess, appear mentally, emotionally, organize things. And hey, you know, being in marketing and on the creative side, deadlines have been how I've lived. I mean,
right.
So I think I'm very deadline oriented and know how to get things done when they need to get done. And I try not to leave things till the last minute. I definitely overinvest. Like I say, I stay up late to make sure I'm prepared for the next day, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Great strategy. Shifting things a little bit now, why do you think it's important for everyone to be on social media, whether they own a business or work for an employer?
Yeah, you're asking the right guy to answer that question, the right person. It's because, you know, I'm bullish on social media and I preach that everybody should be on social media. Hey, I know some people don't like it, uncomfortable with it. They're private to some degree, but this is where people go, consumers, customers, clients, to check you out before they do business with you. And so, you know, website, obviously, first and foremost, that's your main stage, but your satellite stages, if you will, are your social media properties. And I encourage people to use social media to personalize, to humanize their brand, whether you are one individual or you're a company. I think it's so, so important to be on as many channels as possible within reason, meaning if your customers aren't there, people aren't there, don't necessarily waste your time. But I think more and more you are going to be surprised how many people are out there looking for you there, and you can pick up business there, you know, not even a question. You can converse with them, they get to know you, and the more they know you, the more likely they'll be to do business with you.
Absolutely. I've had this conversation a lot with professionals, and I'm sure you have as well, where they don't own their own business. They work for an employer. And besides having LinkedIn, they can't really understand the value of having social media for themselves as a professional standpoint, because they don't necessarily own the business. So they're not trying to get clients. But of course, it's so important for them to have a professional brand online as an expert in whatever they do. So what advice would you give for people who are in that situation where they work for another organization and don't necessarily do their own thing, but still need to have social media professionally?
Yeah. So I think it benefits every single individual to have a personal brand, whether or not they're on the front lines of their company, whether or not they're looking for business, because you're going to become a more valuable employee by having a large audience, or at least an engaged audience, whether it's large or small. Your employer will value you more because, number one, you're learning, you're listening to other people out there, you're on top of the news, you're on top of the trends. And again, if you do have a loyal following, they will be able to, through you, perhaps reach an even bigger audience. So it benefits you in so many ways, whether or not you're the frontline person or not. Ashley, as you and I were talking before you turned on record, we haven't seen each other, talked to each other in a while, one-on-one, but I see you on social media and you see me, and that's what I mean. You know, you're staying in touch with people, and some of these people you might not even know, you might not have ever met, but when you need them, if they've seen you being supportive and being genuine and authentic, they're going to be more likely to support you, and you never know when you're going to need them.
Yep. Great perspective. And I also think, too, it's valuable to use social media from a professional standpoint to be in publications. So whether it's like what we're doing right now, I asked you through social media to be a guest on this podcast. And the same can happen for other people, being guests on podcasts, perhaps speakers at conferences, or even getting featured in an article in a publication. Social media is a really great connecting tool for that specifically.
It leads to many opportunities, countless opportunities. You know, that's a big part of my book is how I embraced social media early on. I've always been one, as I said earlier, to seize the day, say yes to opportunities. Social media connects you with people you wouldn't otherwise be connected to. And again, they get to know you and they're going to think of you when opportunities arise. So it helps you be present in many different places, you know, at many different places at the same time. We say that's not possible. Well, it actually is virtually thanks to social media.
Yep, absolutely. And you're someone that I really admire specifically because of the fact that you're always producing a ton of new content, which I always joke with myself and say the shoe cobbler's son has no shoes, where I'm so busy focusing on other people's content that I always tend to push mine to the back burner, which of course isn't necessarily a good thing. So do you have some type of strategy or process that allows you to create so much content and be consistent with it, particularly with video? You do a ton of video, which is amazing, because many of the people that I often speak with are really shy when it comes to that and tend to stay away from it and be a little bit hesitant to dive into it.
Yeah, Ashley, you have probably, I'm sure, a lot more clients than I have and have reason to perhaps not be to be that cobbler in her shoes, you know, not being having the time to focus on yourself. And that's a good thing, a good problem to have. But at the same time, I do. If for what it's worth, have some advice for people who struggle or are challenged by creating content for themselves. And that is, you know, document your day to day, be that storyteller and you be the star of the story. You're the main character and people are interested in more than people realize that people are interested in them. And that could be in just their daily, whatever they're doing. So, like you say, I do a lot of video. I do a lot of Instagram stories. I do a lot of, hey, here I am walking, you know, on Boylston Street in Boston, and it's nice weather here. What's the weather like where you are? What are you doing today? So I almost, it's like a reality show. And I, over time, and you actually, or I don't think I have to tell you this, but whoever's listening or watching, in general, people become more comfortable as they do it more and more and realize you'll start getting that positive feedback. For instance, Instagram stories, you see who sees it. You see how many see it, and they'll give you the hand clap emoji or the thumbs up or the heart, and it makes you feel good. And then it encourages you to share even more content. So when I go to events, like last night, the AMA Boston event, I can't tell you how many people are always telling me, hey, I see you doing this. I see you doing that. It's so interesting. So that's what motivates me. It takes time, though. You know, at first, you might not have an audience and you'll say, where is everybody? Do people even care? But you just got to do it over and over again. And that's my mantra.
I love that advice. And I want to hone in on something you just said, because I think it's a really important reminder for our listeners. And what you had just said was, people will say to you that they see you doing something online on social media. And so that's something important to keep in mind, because although people might not necessarily be interacting with your content, it doesn't mean that they're not seeing it, absorbing it, and remembering it. So it's crucial to not get discouraged by a low number of likes or whatever those other statistics may be, because people are still watching that content and taking note of it.
It's very psychological. I mean, and I'm no expert in that area, but what I mean is it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to feel like you just said that, oh, you know, no one's liking or engaging, so they're not seeing it. But you need to test or take surveys, or just, like I say, go out in public and And you'll see over time, even if you outright have to ask somebody, hey, are you seeing my content? You'd be surprised how many, you know, again, I'm talking generally to people. You'd be surprised how many people don't say something, but do see it. So they right. might not engage, but they're seeing what you're doing. And again, it's how you build that personal brand. It's how you stay visible when, you know, in real life, IRL, it's not possible. And you really can help people, educate people, entertain people more than you realize. And again, by you, I mean anybody. It's a level playing field.
Absolutely. And I always think it's so interesting to see what type of content resonates with people the most. For me specifically, every time I start a new book, I post a picture of it on my Instagram story. And without a doubt, that's the content that always gets the most replies to it from people saying, I've read that book, or, and I loved it, or I want to read this book, let me know how it is. And I think it's so funny because it has absolutely nothing to do with marketing, but it's what drives the most engagement. And so I think that's something that's helpful for business owners or professionals to keep in mind, is that you do want to, as you said, Bob, entertain people through content, and that might not necessarily relate to your direct line of work, but that's okay because you're still engaging the right people.
Yeah, what people don't realize, and you just said, Ashley, it's not marketing, but you know what? It is in a different way, meaning we're all, I tell my students all the time teaching marketing, we're all marketing day in and day out, whether we know it or not, whether we call it that or not. And so by putting yourself out there, sharing yourself with the public, you're marketing you. You're marketing what you do, what you're interested in. And again, every once in a while, you throw, you know, your business in there, what you do for a living. And over time, people want to support people they know and like. So it's just like in real life networking, but we're doing it online and in a multitude of different ways.
Absolutely. And speaking of content, as you're planning out your content, would you say that you have a concrete plan of, on this day, you're going to write a blog post on this topic, and on this day, you're going to record a video on this topic? Or is it kind of just spur of the moment based on conversations you're having or things you might be noticing?
Yeah. So if I was working with a client, Ashley, and I'm sure you do something similar, you know, you do plan it out. You have a content calendar, and on certain days you do this, and a lot of the content is scheduled in advance, and it's strategic. It's well thought out, you know, what time a day for the most part, what channels. Absolutely. That is how I would recommend doing it in many cases for clients. But yes, I have strayed, broken some of the rules, if you will, over time for myself. And I sometimes suggest this to clients, meaning once you have gotten used to following a calendar, and you may need it literally, you know, that content calendar, this day I do that, the next day I do this, you can probably stray and start doing it more impromptu. And I wouldn't necessarily say totally spur of the moment, but I'm creating content all the time that I don't necessarily use that day or even that week or even that month. So I have this stockpile of content, and I just try to, on a regular basis, be on all the channels that I'm active on. And that's a lot. If not daily, you know, every few days, and some channels like Twitter, a multitude of times each day. So it's a combination. I sometimes use Buffer to schedule. I sometimes use TweetDeck to schedule. You know, in the past, I've used Hootsuite and other channels. But for me personally, it's a combination. But I'd say, I wouldn't call it spur of the moment, but it's not a rigid schedule. It's when, you know, because again, I'm juggling so many things. So it's when I have time. A lot of it I do at night, and then it is scheduled for the next day. Yep. Or I say to myself, or write it down, you know, in my notes. I'm looking for a piece of paper. I don't want to show you all my notes. I don't want to disclose any proprietary secrets. I'm kidding. But you know, I might write it down. Share this video at 9 o'clock tomorrow across all channels, or this or that. So
yep,
it's a combination. I hope I answered that question thoroughly.
I think you gave a great response, especially because I always say that content that suddenly comes to you that you feel inspired to write about or film or create usually ends up being the best content because it just came to you out of the blue and you're not necessarily sitting there forcing yourself to think of a topic or try to write something and you're just not feeling super creative. It just comes to you and it ends up really flowing naturally, which is amazing.
Totally. And to that point, Ashley, so I'm still thinking of, you know, we're on a good thread here. I used to, again, I used to be much more formal, much more rigid with my videos. I would, back in the day, my wife would help me a lot. And I have like cue cards. Sometimes I even have the script written out. I've gotten so far away from that, I think in a good way, meaning I think of the ideas. I hardly ever rehearse them. I hardly ever now write out scripts. Occasionally, if I'm doing it at home in front of the webcam, I'll have talking points, you know, either down here or up here. But for the most part, it's all in my head. I've done it so many times. And that's what I try to teach to clients. The same with all social media. You'll start getting, you know, yeah, you can write some of it down in advance. You can schedule some of it. But the more you do it, the more naturally it's going to come to you. And those questions we might ask each other on Twitter or those spur of the moment pictures we take, you know, while we're taking a walk somewhere, or the walking and talking videos like I do, they'll come naturally to you. And that's what you want to do. You want to build it into your daily life. Again, you're the main character in the story. It's a reality show about you. And then it becomes about you and your colleagues and about you and your family. People get to know you. They will then think of you first when opportunities arise.
Love it. And I love that you mentioned that you don't use everything right away all the time. You build up that stockpile and have that queue, which I think is such a good tip for so many professionals and business owners, where if they just kind of bulk up on that content, it'll help to guide them through during the days or weeks where they are really busy and don't necessarily have time to create something new. They can just go back to what they've already created before, which I think is amazing.
They can break it up. You know, you create some kind of long form content, could be a blog post, could be a podcast like we're doing right now. It could be, you know, again, a 15-minute video, but then you can break it up. You can go over it and slice and dice it and add captions. Hey, if you're putting it up on Instagram or TikTok, you know, add some music if you want. So, you know, again, literally this podcast could be a series of highlights, if you will, and carry both of us for a couple of weeks with, you know, a video every other day. But a lot of my clients over the years, or when I teach, this is new to them. It's like, oh, that's how you do it. But I learned that by, you know, practice. And it's not necessarily in a lot of textbooks yet, because all of this is so new to people. And you even said some people, I agree, are shy about that, are private about that. You know, that makes it an especially big challenge, but you don't always have to be on camera. You could be behind the camera. You know, you could be doing a podcast without video, you know, just audio, or you work with people who can do it for you. If you're at a company, it doesn't have to be you, but maybe you're the director, the producer, and somebody else is doing it.
Absolutely. Great thoughts. Shifting gears a little bit. You're currently, as I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, the president of the American Marketing Association's Boston chapter. And I'd love to hear what made you want to get involved in the organization, because I know you've been involved in it in a variety of ways for a long time. What made you want to get involved? What's been your favorite part about being involved, and even some great outcomes that might have come from it?
These are all great questions, Ashley. I really appreciate you asking me so much about what I do, because I love what I do. And often I'm just doing it and don't have the chance to reflect. So thank you for giving me that opportunity. I learned a long time ago that being involved in organizations is, you know, trade groups, et cetera, is a great way to connect with people, find opportunities, develop, you know, personally, professionally, grow your skills, your talents, put yourself in again, your sign, uncomfortable situations that you all of a sudden become very, very comfortable in. So, you know, AMA Boston is a chapter, one of the oldest, one of the biggest. And the country, American Marketing Association, is a national group, and I take great pride in belonging to AMA and in being the president of AMA. From the second time around, I was president a few years ago for 2 years, and now I'm president again. I love the leadership opportunities and that I get, and the connections I make, and all that I learn. And I encourage people, as I did my whole career, pretty much. I used to belong, I still do. So I shouldn't say used to. I have belonged to NEDMA, also New England Direct Marketing Association, since 1990. That's a long time. So that was amazing. The first big organization where I got a ton from, if you will, by meeting people. And I was president of that group for 1 year. So that was, you know, taught me the benefits of belonging. And then AMA Boston has come around the last 5-6 years or so for me. It's a great group. And I invite anybody listening, watching to come join us, amaboston.org. I meet friends. I learn. I think I get to teach myself and lead myself. And that's what gives me great, great satisfaction.
I love that, especially because there's nothing like surrounding yourself with people who get it. So being able to surround yourself with other marketing experts who can relate to what you're going through or answer questions and help you troubleshoot things, I think it's really powerful.
What you just said is what one of my colleagues said, and I recorded her saying this. It was at a conference this summer in August. We were there, we had a booth, a table, we were exhibitors, and she said something talking to somebody, and I said, can we do that again? And you say that again. So here's an example of me creating content. And her name's Leanne Brandolini, and she said, my people, I love being around my people, meaning people in marketing who, like you say, get it. And that's what it is. It's a group of your people, my people, our people who are all marketers. We get it, but we also face with challenges day in, day out that, you know, one of us might not get and somebody else gets. So we share, we trade, learn from each other, help each other. And, you know, it's a win-win.
Absolutely. I found one of the most valuable things of that being the fact that because marketing and specifically social media changes so quickly and so often, it's nice to be able to ask someone, hey, what's your perspective on this change? Or what would you recommend now that this platform is focusing on this instead? It's really great to get other people's perspectives and ideas that you might not have thought about yourself in the first place.
It changes constantly. And you know, that's the upside and the downside, meaning it can be overwhelming and sometimes frustrating, but at the same time, it's never a dull moment. And that's what I've liked about marketing my whole career, and especially once the internet and social media came around, because I look back and I say, geez, it was relatively so boring and routine before the internet. I'm that old, actually, to tell you. You know, I worked 20 years before the internet, and it was all print and direct mail. And when the internet came around, I was like, yeah, this is like really cool. This really levels things up, you know, it amped everything up. And it's a great time to be in marketing because of technology, but yeah, good luck too, because you know, it just changes constantly.
Right. And speaking of the different forms of marketing, would you say that you have a favorite medium? Like, do you prefer blogging over social media or podcasting over blogging? Do you tend to kind of favor one, or do you kind of like them all equally, so to say?
I'm a writer by trade. I've never given up writing. I still write constantly. And I think writing skills are very important, despite what they say about AI coming and AI, these tools and apps doing the writing for people. I don't like that idea. I think, sure, it may be helpful, but I think having writing skills is so important, as well as verbal, communication skills, public speaking skills. So, but I'm indirectly answering your question. I think communication skills are key, is what I'm saying there. Mm-hmm. In terms of my favorite, yeah, I still have my blog. I started it in 2004 and still write on my blog. I'd have to say video, you know, like this, that the fact that I can see you when we're talking, that's probably my favorite. So live video or any kind of video, but how can I, you know, short shrift writing? Because, you know, to me, that's where we learn a lot about ourselves the more we write, and that's the long form content that you can then slice and dice and use in tweets, etc. And it's how we can document our lives. I just stress the importance of writing it. That's why, you know, I was so happy to write my book, because that's kind of an extension of who I am and what my blog has been all about. It's documenting. So I don't know if I answered your question specifically, but I was in that area, in the ballpark.
Oh yeah, absolutely. With writing, I find that I really have to be in the right mindset in order to produce good content. I have to be like in the mood to write. I have to be inspired. Do you have any type of suggestion or process that works for you with being able to really settle down and get in the right mood and have the right creativity sparked in order to start writing?
I do, but it might not work for everybody, meaning I work late nights. I've always been that kind of person, and I might be multitasking. You know, I might have some music on, even, you know, have dinner in front of me. I eat, believe it or not, right at this desk. Probably not a good habit, but I've had these habits my whole life, and my wife supports these habits. She's my angel. Without her, my better half. Without her, I wouldn't and be able to do all the things I do, because she supports my career. But all that said, I work late at night, and I've always written late at night. And sometimes write when I get up in the morning, because these are times when there are fewer interruptions, you know, before the day kicks in, and certainly after the day winds down. It's funny how few emails we get after 9 or 10 o'clock. Yep. So it's like, okay, Bob, you got an hour and maybe get some of that work done. I'll tell you one other thing. I speaking of technology, so I love writing. I can crank out the words pretty easily after all these years, 40, 50 years of doing it. I dictate a lot of first drafts. I use my phone my computer and my desk, my laptop. I can dictate, turn on the microphone. That'll be a good first draft, and I can actually crank out an awful lot faster copy that way. And my book, believe it or not, I wrote, I would say, the entire first draft by dictating piecemeal over the course of a year or two. And then I started, you know, just writing, if you will, editing, you know, the real hard part, the monotonous part, frankly. It's not easy. That's why people don't write. And that's why people want this AI technology to kick in, because they don't want to put in the hard work. Writing is hard. I know you're a big reader, Ashley. You're a huge reader, much more than I am. But I read a lot of books, and I have such great respect, reverence for people who write books, because it is freaking hard work.
That it is. And I think that's a great suggestion of dictating. And something that I've heard other people do before, because like you said, it's so much faster. You can just kind of stream of consciousness, share the thoughts on your mind on a topic, and then go back and fine tune it. I think that's a really great suggestion.
Yeah. What you just said, you polish it. I had a boss who used to say, polish the apple. You know, over and over and over again, if you have to. And that's what I did with my book. And, you know, I used to do that with my blog post. I'm not quite as particular anymore. And I also think people's expectations, I hate to say, are I don't want to say lower, but the expectation of what people get in a blog or on social media is certainly different than what they get in a blog. In a book. My book, right. I was extremely particular about, but my blog post and my social media content, not so much, but I'm still, trust me, I don't want grammatical mistakes. I don't want typos. I want it a certain way. But sometimes you have to let go of the desire to be perfect and just strive for excellence.
Absolutely. And while we're talking about writing in your book, let's focus on that topic now. As I mentioned at the beginning, and as you've shared a few times throughout this episode, you recently published your book, 20 Jobs, 20 Lessons. And so I'd love if you could share with our listeners, as you're pointing to in the video, I'd love if you could share with our listeners what inspired you to want to write that book, and what was that process like?
Yeah, so I've already hinted that the process. I have a good friend. When I told him who's written about 10 books, I love this, and it is absolutely true. He's being kind of sarcastic, but serious too. I told him I was writing a book, and he said, "Oh, that's too bad." Meaning he has written a bunch and knew how hard the process was, and it he was not kidding. It is a hard process. It absolutely is something I've always wanted to do. I never thought I'd do it. Seriously, I also thought it might be a novel, not a memoir, not about my career. But I think it was the blog that inspired it, because I started writing this blog in 2004, and I realized I had documented in writing this blog, say, the last, 17 years, 18 years of my career. And I said, what if I could go all the way back? And I am someone who loves to create, loves to share. I'm not private at all. I'm very transparent. So I don't know. I mean, I do know. I had the idea. It was after I left the corporate world. So I had a little more time, not a lot. I'm still busy, very busy, but I could control my schedule a little. I had this idea. Hey, try to go back and remember everything since your first job. And I don't think I knew if I would be able to do it, but I started to do it. And that's a big key in tackling anything, is just do it.
Yeah.
And so I started dictating from day one in my career, 1983, and realized I had something going, and then I wouldn't let go of it. I got all the way up to the present. Then I combined my memoir, if you will, of my career with a lot of my blog posts. So, and the blog posts kick in, at job, it's 20 jobs. So at around job, I'm making this up, I don't know exactly which job, but let's say it's job 12 or 13. Then each chapter has a few blog posts, and you'll see the change in my career as the internet came in. I went from, writing all direct mail and print ads to, hey, all of a sudden it's social media. All of a sudden it's email marketing and web marketing. And, now mostly just social media. So it's a combination of things. I'm a driven person, very ambitious. I'm a writer. I think anyone who's both ambitious and a writer and loves to read, is going to come a time for you, Ashley, and anyone else, who can write and loves to read, that you'll say, hey, I want to do this myself.
Right. Absolutely. Did you create some type of outline that then guided the chapters, or did you just dive right in with dictating?
Well, believe it or not, someone who confesses to not being too left brain at all, meaning analytical and organized, I did have an outline in mind, but it was easy. And it was, each chapter was going to be one job.
Yeah.
And each job would have a big lesson that I learned, even though there were, innumerable lessons I learned at each job. So that was my outline, 20 jobs. And it's actually a little secret, unless you read the book, only 18 of them are my professional marketing career jobs. There's two secret jobs, one at the beginning and one at the end, that I snuck in there that have a little to do with marketing, but they weren't marketing jobs, if you will. Mm-hmm. They were jobs that challenged me and taught me a little bit about marketing and sales that I threw in there, that people will be surprised. There's a lot of personal revelations about why I worked at so many jobs. Some again, things that people might not know about me, that prompted me to want to work at so many places, to want to climb the corporate ladder in a different way than others. It was not a straight path for me. It was a little up and down, left, right, off the beaten path. But hey, it got me this far.
Yeah, absolutely. Very interesting. And now please share where our listeners can buy that book if they are feeling inspired to read it.
Yeah, I would love viewers, listeners to be inspired to read it. It's only on Amazon. So it is self-published. I mean, they can hit me up and I can get it sent to them some way, somehow. But Amazon is where you get it. And you just look up 20 jobs, 20 lessons, a long, strange career in marketing from junk mail to social media. And it's there in both paperback and Kindle. You can download it, and that's about half the price than the paperback. Paperback, I think, is $19.99. Kindle's, I think, even more than less than half of that, if that makes sense. I think it's around $7.99 or $8.99 for the Kindle version.
Perfect. And while we're giving some plugs and shout outs, let's shift gears a little bit to actually have you shout out some of your favorite local businesses to support.
Oh, I love that. Wow. You're kind of putting me, let me think about that for a minute. Besides supporting Amazon, where I do a lot of my shopping, you caught me off guard. So I will tell you, she's a former client, Isla Sibis, who manufactures and sells jewelry. She's in Worcester now. She used to be in Sudbury. And I believe the name of her company is just Isla or Isla Jewelry. Absolutely, I would give her a shout out. She's a small business, and I would highly recommend her. I actually helped her out with social media a bunch of years ago. She's extremely talented. But again, I don't have her website, and I'm not sure the exact name of the company, but her name is Isla Sibis, and that's jewelry. And she's fantastic. I think that's about all I got there for that question, Ashley. All these other questions, I've gone on and on and on. Now you got me. I'm at a loss for words.
How about any local restaurants that you might like? Or I know you've gone to a few events. Oh, yeah. That have been at breweries.
Yeah, and that's local business. Is it Sobra or Sobre Mesa? I should look it up while we're talking if I can pull that off. But it's high-end Mexican. I say high-end because it's far from like a Taco Bell. It's quite the opposite. It's wonderful restaurant in Sudbury that my wife and I went to the other day, where we got we had 6-8 plates, dishes in front of us, and made our own. You know, you pile food up on different plates and tasting different items, and it was just really, really good. Sobre Mesa, I believe, is the name of it. Remember this, it's not necessarily a restaurant, but it was just last night, so I can't forget. We, AMA Boston, were at Night Shift in Everett, and that's a craft beer brew pub, if you will. No food did we have, but great beer. And I know they're around Night Shift. I think they're in Natick at the Natick Mall, and they're in a few locations. Mm-hmm. There's a couple. Oh, Rail Trail in Hudson, great restaurant right there. My wife and I've been there a few times. I could go on and on with the restaurants because I do get out quite often. I don't do a lot of shopping. And again, I have to admit, I'm partial to Amazon for the convenience, right? And having being a Prime member, I feel bad for the smaller stores. We talk marketing. They're competing now with that technology where you can find much anything anywhere and get it overnight. So, but I do like to eat out and dine and hang out in this. I go into Maynard or Hudson or here in Sudbury or Marlborough, Framingham sometimes. So those are my towns where I hang, and then into Boston, of course, quite often.
Love it. And now I'd love if you could share where our audience can find you online and follow you.
Yeah, that's definitely easy. Thank you for asking that question. Pretty much just look my name up, Bob Cargill, but I'm very active on LinkedIn. Would love to connect with anybody and everybody there. You can follow me on Instagram. I'm very active there. And Facebook, I have a group called Bob Cargill's Marketing Show. I have a business page, and I also have a personal profile, and we can be friends. My YouTube channel, I'd love more subscribers there. There are hundreds of videos. And I'll say this to you, Ashley, and anybody who's listening, anyone within earshot, I need more subscribers on my YouTube channel. I might be the only one who has way more videos and subscribers. I have like hundreds of videos. You talk about an arsenal of content, motivational videos and social media videos. quite a few views on some of them, but it's not easy to get subscribers. So that's right. Bob Cargill's Marketing Show on YouTube. I even have some TikTok videos out there, and I'm trying to use TikTok a little bit more lately. So pretty much anywhere under my name, either Bob Cargill or The Bob Cargill.
Perfect. And I will make sure to link to all of those in our show notes, so that way our listeners can click through and follow you from there. But Bob, this has been a really awesome episode, and I'd love chatting with you further about all that you've done in your career. And I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Ashley, I really appreciate you asking me to be on the show. It's been a ridiculously awesome conversation, and you're ridiculously awesome. So thank you so much for having me as your guest today.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.